Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Amen, 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 amen. Good morning. I missed you guys last week. It's so good to be back. It is amazing to be in the presence of God. And wow, it's amazing. The presence of God is awesome here today. And if you're here for the first time, you are welcome, and we love you. And today we're going to really go into our Proverbs series. I'm going to speak to you today on work. And Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. And I don't know about you, but when Clive told me this is the one that I'm going to preach on, I thought, great, I'm going to preach on work. And then the worst day that you could say to someone in the workplace is Monday, and that's tomorrow. It's like, great, now I've got to preach before on Monday. God, what is it you want to say to your... That is the worst day, isn't it? That is the worst day in the workplace. When you know that Monday's coming, that is the worst day. I know for some mums, Monday's going to be great when you drop your kids off to school. Yeah. But you know what? I believe that today's message is going to encourage you guys in your working life. It's going to inspire you and empower you to work in the fullness of all the gifts and the skills that God has given you in the workplace, but not only for the workplace, but also for the calling that God has in your life as well. And we're going to look at three key points today. We're going to look at the attitude of work, we're going to look at the purpose of work, and we're going to look at the key to success in work. Amen? But before we go into these points, the Bible offers an abundance of wisdom on the topic of work. And I believe that there are three important fundamental factors that we need to understand and recognize first before we go into this message. And the first one is this. Monday morning. Woo! The first one is this. The word gift. Work is a gift from God. Don't get me wrong, I probably would prefer the PlayStation, but work is a gift from God. When we look at Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So when God was in the midst of creation, he was creating the heavens and the earth, he was separating the land and the sea, creating all the animals of the land and the sea, and then created man. He then placed man in the Garden of Eden to work. And his job was to cultivate every area that God had given him. Cultivate means that you work to bring the best out of everything that you have. And that was the man's job. And God equipped him with skills and gifts for him to complete those tasks. So since the beginning of time, the work has been a part of God's plan for us as humanity. God created it. That means that you can view the work as a gift, even if you don't like the job that you're in at the moment. Now, the second point, and this is probably the most powerful one to understand. Laziness. Don't be lazy. Those who can work should do so. Now, both the Old and New Testaments of the Bible speak highly of work, but condemns laziness. And in one of the Apostles Paul's letters, he seemed to be scolding some Christians in their church who refused to earn their keep. He said this, in 2 Thessalonians 3, from verse 10, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Bit harsh. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Now Billy Graham, one of the most famous preachers of the gospel of our time, actually commented on this passage. He wrote and he said, please note that this wasn't spoken to people who couldn't find jobs. This was instead directed at people who had every opportunity to work but refused to do so. That is the second point that the Bible offers us. In our work, in our workplaces, in anything that we do, don't be lazy. And the third one, which is by far the most important, I remember me and Lloyd were speaking about this last week. The most important thing about work is rest. Rest. It takes time to rest. You should never work your working life, Monday to Friday or whenever you work, and by the end of the week and go, right, now it's time to rest. No, we need to come out of rest and go, right, now it's time to work. We work from rest. And resting is so important to God, because even he said it in the fourth commandment, when he gave Moses the commandments in Exodus, he said this: remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to your Lord God. And on it you shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. Now, in today's society, most of us are living in a culture where we're ignoring that command from God, where we work 24/7 a day. Some of us are working 7 days a week. Some of us are working two jobs in a whole week. But this command is still important to God. Just as God created us to work, he also created us to rest. And he never meant for his people to be workaholics. Billy Graham once wrote this: our work was never meant to become the center of our life. That place belongs only to God. If you're someone who brags about working 70 to 80 hours a week or more, you probably think you have mastered your job. But in reality, you have become its slave. That is powerful. Guys, it is important to rest. And when we look at these three fundamental, they're the three foundations of work, you know. Recognize it's a gift, don't be lazy, and make sure you rest. And that it should frame and shape our attitude of work, which brings me on to my first point, the attitude of work. Our attitude in work should be, work like God is your boss. The Apostle Paul said, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, and you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, these words can be especially encouraging and challenging, especially if you don't like the job or you have trouble getting along with your boss at the moment. But the Bible tells us that all Christians are ultimately working for the Lord. And Paul wrote that whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That means that if you just make sandwiches for little ones, do it for the glory of God. If you're sat at a desk typing up emails, do it for the glory of God. If you're in retail and you're serving pain in the butt customers who ask silly questions, do it for the glory of God. If you clean toilets, do it for the glory of God. Your hard work brings glory to God. And you know what? When you're working, God is watching. God calls us to give our best in everything. And if you're a believer, that no matter what or who your boss is at work, ultimately you're a working for God. Now, whether or not anyone else sees what you do, God sees it, and he doesn't want you to waste time and resources of your employer. And maybe you're someone, you hate your job. Maybe you're not satisfied in your work, or maybe you think you're underpaid. It really doesn't matter. The Bible says to do more than just the minimum required. And God calls us to give our best. And that's what integrity looks like. Integrity is doing the right thing when the boss is watching, even when he's not. That is integrity. And you may know someone in your workplace who only works hard when the boss is watching. You know, they're standing around, probably having a fag, cup of tea, chatting away. As soon as the boss walks in, they pick up their broom. Yeah, you're right, mate. You know? Or maybe you know someone who takes home company supplies. You know, oh, that's all right. They don't need a stapler. They don't need that laptop. I'll take that. That's a form of stealing. Or maybe you know someone who takes extra long breaks or comes in late and goes home early every day. Would you believe that God actually compares that kind of work ethic and attitude to vandalism? Proverbs 18:9 says, slack habits and sloppy work are as bad as vandalism. That's what the Message translate says. But in the Living Bible translation, it says this: a lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. And God considers it a serious sin when we don't give a full day's work for a full day's pay, even if no one else at work gives their all. As followers of Jesus, we should. And when you're at work, We're meant to work as if we're working for God. That is the attitude that we must carry. And he will bless our integrity. Yeah, your boss may notice, your boss is most likely to notice your commitment and to the success of the company and organisation that you're in. And that may lead to pay rises and doors opening up for you, opportunities arising. But more importantly, you will grow spiritually in your faith as you work in obedience in God. And I'll give you a couple of stories. I'll give you one of a bad attitude I had in work. Right, I was only young, and my manager at the time was lazy. He'd just come in, bark a few orders, and then go in the office. And then we found out he was actually in the office having a few pints of lager at workplace. So we didn't know this at the time, but it later came out. But every day, he'd just disappear next door and just sit in the office all day. And we're there like, we need a bit of help here, mate. Are you going to work? And we just carry on. But you get to the point where it's like, well, what's the point? If the boss is not doing it, then why should I do it? And then I carry this attitude where I slack in my work and only do what the right thing as soon as he walks back in. And you know what? That spiritually affected me. And that also affected me in the workplace. And I also recently, a couple of years ago, had a bad attitude in the sense of where I was working so hard. People call me Yoda in work. I kind of know a lot in my industry. I'm not bragging, I'm not boastful, I'm just being real. I do know a lot in my industry and I get nicknamed Yoda. When things go wrong, people call me. And I kind of had this bad attitude and sort of went, I know what I'm doing, I'm all right. I got this. Yeah, it's all good. As soon as someone called, is Yoda about? Yep, I'm here. What do you need? And it was a bad attitude because even though I was doing it when I was asked to do it, when I weren't, I was just sort of just doodling along. And I'll be honest, it was because in my heart, I was done with work. I wanted to work for God full time now. But you know what? We're not all called to work for God in the church. Some of us are called to work for God in the workplace. And I had to change my attitude really quickly. And I asked God, God, help me transform my heart, transform my mind in that. And I even asked God to bring someone in my life, in the workplace, that can help me. And when you do that, God does send someone. And he sends someone tough. And I literally got a righteous teaching. Right? I don't know whether this guy's Christian or not, but he does have Christian values, and he really taught me a lot. And now I go to work with a good attitude. I go to work every day wanting to be at work. You know what? If you want to be a good worker, it starts from the moment you wake up, and it's an attitude of being present, being alert, and being there. And ever since I've come with this good attitude, things have been opened up. I've been promoted. I've got pay rises, and God's doing so much more in my workplace. So the question is, have you got a bad attitude in your work, or is your attitude good, where you're just working for the glory of God and doing the right thing, even when no one's looking, and that's when God blesses you? And you know what? Even in that, I'm growing spiritually in my faith as well. Amen? That's the first point. Our attitude of work is the most important. Secondly, the purpose of work. I spoke earlier about how God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden. God shaped us for work in creation. And in architecture, form follows function. That means that an architect will say, tell me what you want to use the building for, and I will tell you how to build it. But in human beings, it's the exact opposite. Function follows form. We need to figure out how God shaped us. Some of us here are going, God, what's my purpose in life? God, why am I here? What is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go? What is your calling on my life? I feel like I'm in a rut. I feel like I'm stuck in the mud. I feel like I'm just at a crossroads. And I'm like, God, what is your purpose in my life right now? And the first thing we need to figure out is how God shaped us, how he wired us. And we need to learn how God made us. He gave us spiritual gifts. He gave us a heart. He gave us abilities. He gave you a unique personality. And he gave you experiences. Once we establish who we are in God amongst all these things, then we will know what we're supposed to do with our life. God doesn't put you on earth without giving you a life's work. And your life's work may be your job. It may be your career or how you serve your community, because some of us are called into that. But work is a part of God's purpose for your life. And you're not on this planet just to be a placeholder and use up resources. You're here to contribute, and your contribution is based on how God shaped you. And God never gives you work to do without giving you the means to do it. And that's why we have spiritual gifts and other parts of our shape. But you know what? They're currently inactive in you until you start to discover them and use them. Many surveys, I've done a bit of research, and many surveys in America, Europe and UK and the Eastern world, many people are in the wrong job. Many people are in jobs that they're not shaped for. And they're simply in jobs primarily for financial benefit or for status, not because they're shaped to do it. And if you're in a job that's not using the way that God shaped you, then we need to ask God to open the door to another job that will use the way that God shaped us. Because you know what? Life is too short to do work that ain't fit for the way that God made us. And while we're waiting, in our waiting, if you're waiting right now for God to open up a door in the workplace and to show you who you are and to show your purpose, the best way to wait is to serve your community, in your church and in your community where you live, to serve it. Because that is in a way that expresses your shape in how God formed you. And there you will see your gifts. There you see your abilities and the way that God shaped you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 6, there are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but yet the same Lord is served. And there are different types of work to do, but the same God produces every gift in every person. Everyone here has a purpose for work, and everyone here is shaped differently, and it's our duty to find out how God shaped us. And if you're in a position right now where you don't know what your purpose is and you don't know how God shaped us, then you need to start to get to know God. Because when you get to know God, He will reveal to you who you are, and then you'll be able to walk in your purpose and work in the gifts that God has given you. Amen. Amen. My final point, key to success. Who wants success in their life? Who wants to be successful in their workplace, in their careers? Amen. There's one key to success in the workplace and in life, and it's one word: humility. Be humble or you'll stumble. Like that. Wise people remain humble. Humility and teachability go together. Be humble or you'll stumble. Love that. Humility begins by simply realizing one thing: you're not God and you can't do everything. Whenever you get stressed because things ain't working out for you, repeat this words: God is God and I am not. God is God and I am not. That's humility. And if you don't realize that you can't control everything, you can't do everything, then you're not a humble person. The Bible says this: God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4, 6. Do you have a goal in life to become a wiser person? Then we need to get to know God. You'll be wiser in life building your relationships. You'll be wiser in managing your money and handling conflicts and diffusing problems and dealing with all kinds of other challenges in life. The Bible tells us this in Proverbs 15:33. Fear of God is a school in skilled living. First you learn humility, then you experience glory. Humility says that you can learn from anyone and you don't know it all. No one does. And you're not okay. But I'm not okay. But that's okay. And that's why we need to remain teachable. We need to remain humble. We need to remain lifelong learners. And I was humbled a few years ago in my workplace. I was humbled very much. Now, like I said, I've been in my industry a long time. And when you're in an industry for a long time and you really work hard, you do know a lot of stuff. You can master a lot of skills. And I kind of held on to that for my own benefit. I held on to that for myself. Whenever there was a problem, it was like, I know how to fix it. No, we'll call Sam. Sam knows what to do. Or someone will turn to someone and go, do you know how to do this? No, you need to go to Sam. And then I got taught a valuable lesson. I need to stay humble in this, because people would call Sam, Sam, there's a problem on the system. All right, I'm on my way, chest out, this is my job, this is my domain. Yeah, you keep your cherubs, I've got this over here. And I had to be humbled really quickly, because you know what? It's not just about me. It's also about the people around me. And if they don't know what to do, then how on earth are we all going to be successful in our workplaces? And I got taught very much, if you know everything, why are you holding on to everything? There are skills and gifts that you guys know, but the person sitting next to you don't. And we need to be humble and teach them. We need to be humble and show them. We need to be humble and bring them into what God is doing. And we need to help out each other. That's why we need to be teachable, we need to be humble, and we need to be lifelong learners all the time. It's the purpose and the key to success in life. Be humble or you'll stumble. And I'll finish with this. I'll come and land. This is what God wants to say to you today. Your work is not your worth. Your work is not your worth. Now, you'll hear people in today's society give many excuses for overworking. Some will say it's, I've got to provide for the family, got to make sure the kids have got food on the table, clothes on their back, fresh pair of crepes every year, a nice family holiday a year. I need to work hard so that way come retirement, I'm settled and I'm comfortable, I ain't got no worries. But others insist that their work is so important that slowing down is negligent. But usually, it's a values problem. We start valuing the wrong things, specifically the acquisition of possession above all else. We work hard so that we can get more money, so that we can acquire the best car, the big house, the fancy holidays. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 4, I have also learned why people work so hard to succeed. It is because they envy the things their neighbours have. And God says we have two options in life. We can spend our lives keeping up with the Kardashians, or we can forget about them and reduce our stress levels. But we can't do both. And that's how this becomes a question of values. Do you want more stuff in your life? Do you want more things in your life? Or do you want less stress and more time with family in your life? Because the choice is yours. The question is, when is enough ever enough? You can always win the rat race. Anyone ever heard this expression? You can always win the rat race, but the fact is you'll always be a rat. Jesus said it like this: what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or in other words, what good is it for a man to become a high executive in his company but lose his family? Your work and your worth are two different things. And you know what? Maybe you're someone like me who grew up in a working class family on a council estate whose parents held down two jobs to work hard so that we can have food on our table, fresh trainers every year, clothes on our back, a holiday a year. And then you were told growing up from people around you that you're worthless, that you will never amount to nothing. You're just from the estate. Your lack of education, your lack of skill, you will never be successful in life. Maybe you was in school and a teacher once said to you, you will never be successful in life because you're not taking your exams seriously. And in the back of your mind, you're now in the workplace and you're saying to yourself, I'm going to show them. I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to make something of myself. And you work harder and harder and harder. But no matter what you do, it's never enough. Because even though you've worked hard for the past 5 years, your mindset is still the same. I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to show them that I cannot be that just standard, bulk standard council estate kid. I can go on and do more. The truth is, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, so we need to take time today to adjust our values and live our lives well. I remember a few years back, I made a really bad decision in my workplace. It was, we just lost our manager, we lost a couple of staff members, and there was literally just two of us left, and that other person was going on holiday. And I've always, in my working life, I've always stood firm. I can't commit to Sundays. Before you employ me, I can't commit to Sundays, and I will not commit to Sundays. And we had this moment where I was literally the only worker in there. And an opportunity came up for the manager's role. I saw that manager's title. I saw that juicy little salary. And for a whole month, I missed out on 5 church services because I worked 7 days a week to chase that status, to chase that salary. And you know what? It was the worst month of my life because I was exhausted. I was tired. Even when I got my paycheck at the end of that month, I looked at it and I went, that's not even worth what I've done. That doesn't even value what I've done. And then I look go deeper and I miss out on fellowship with my church family. I miss out on friends being baptized. I missed out on youth growing in their spiritual walk. I missed out on God stories where God is coming into people's lives and doing amazing things. I miss out on just being together and having a laugh. I had to learn really quickly. I had to adjust my values, and I had to say to myself that my work is not my worth. People are not going to know me as Sam, the guy that works in the paint shop who's great at his job. People are going to know me as Sam, a child of God and a shepherd of God's people. And that's where some of us are today. Your work is not your worth, and you're not guaranteed tomorrow, so we need to take time to adjust our values and live our lives well. Amen? Amen. Can we just stand and get a bit of strumming? The Bible, the book of Proverbs offers so much wisdom in people's lives, especially in the area of working. And I know if I had a choice and if I had the financial backing, I would certainly give up my 9-to-5 job and come and work for God full time. But at the end of the day, that's not where the benefit is. The benefit, if you want eternal benefit in your life, the eternal benefit is this. Put God first in your life. In fact, don't just put him first, put him at the center of your life. Angela gave a word earlier about some of us are in a place where we're just waiting for God to say go. And some of us are in that position of wait, but yet some of us are also stuck in a rut where we've sort of focused on the idolizations of the world, of money, success and love and all that sort of stuff. And some of us need to readjust and reevaluate, but also reposition our lives. We need to reposition ourselves to bring Jesus back in the center. And the word I got today was when Lloyd was singing Stand at the beginning of our worship service, some of us need to stand again on the cornerstone of this church, which is Jesus. Some of us need to stand on the cornerstone and make Jesus the center of our lives again. Because the Bible doesn't specifically address the word retirement. It's a completely new thing in this world. Retirement is, I want to work so hard where I can retire at a certain age, have enough money, and relax for the rest of my old age. But when we look at the Bible, we know that many of God's best-known servants never stopped working for the Lord, even when they were quite old. And Billy Graham, who eventually retired from public preaching, said this. He responded to a question that was asked of him from a man whose life goal was to retire at the age of 50, and he didn't condemn it, but he gave this as an insight. He said, "Your goal suggests that you only are concerned about yourself. What will you do with the remaining years of your life once you are retired? Will you pursue a life of self-centered indulgence and living only for yourself? Or will you pursue, a life where Jesus is the center, your life is in God's hands by committing your life to Jesus, and then you will find lasting joy and peace and satisfaction. Even though Billy Graham retired from public preaching, he still continued to serve the Lord. And that is the eternal benefit that we have. When Jesus is the center of our life, all our fears, all our worries, all our anxieties, when we're worried about our next paycheck, how we're going to pay the bills, with all these bills skyrocketing, energy bills going up and all these prices, some of us are worried, some of us are in fear. No, the eternal benefit of all of these things is putting Jesus in the center, because he is above all these things. And some of us are here where we need to reposition ourselves and place Jesus in the center of your life. And we're going to go into worship, but I want to invite you down for prayer. If you're someone who has not got Jesus in your life, or you need to reposition your life and put Jesus in the center of every area of your life, including work, then come down and we want to pray for you. But there are some of you here, you do have a bad attitude when it comes to work. And that's okay. But God wants to give you a fresh mindset today. He wants to renew your mind, he wants to renew your heart, and he wants to give you an attitude and a mindset that you go and work, when you go and work righteously, wholeheartedly, and give it your all, work with integrity for God. Some of us here are stuck in a rut where you're questioning your purpose in life. You're going, God, what is my purpose in life? Where am I going? I feel like I'm at a crossroads. God is saying, don't worry, I've got it all in hand. Come down the front and I want to pray for you. And if you're someone who is worried about the future, or you're looking for a job right now and you're worried about retirement, come down the front and let the peace of God just come into your heart. And yeah, let's just be free. Let's just pray. Everyone just open up your hearts, just close your eyes, and let's just receive from God. Work is a gift from God. It is a gift to cultivate and bring the best out of everything that God has given us. We do it from rest, we do it with integrity, and we do it for the glory of God. And Lord, I just pray over every person here today. Lord, I pray for those that, Lord, struggle in the workplace because they have a boss who is not great, because they don't like their job. Lord, I pray that they will change their mindsets, Lord, and work with a heart of working for you that brings glory to you, God. And Lord, I pray that if their heart is for another job, bless them with one, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will just speak to us at this time, Lord, whatever is on our heart right now. God, we want to go into Monday morning. Monday morning is not a bad day for a worker. Monday morning is an exciting day, because we're going to take the day as it comes, and we're going to run with Jesus and transform our lives and bring a new attitude in our working life this Monday. And Lord, I just pray that in every area of our life, that Jesus, you will take position. You will be the center of our lives. And God, we pray that you will help us place our feet firmly on the cornerstone of this church, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's worship God.